internet, and welcome to Fans First, the Ideal Comics Nerdcast, your source for all things Ideal Comics related, and really zaniness, craziness, and anything related to nerd culture. My name is Christopher Lawton. I am the co-owner of Ideal Comics and script supervisor, web developer, internet celebrity now. And now once this hits and makes the huge splash that I know it's going to make, I'll be the internet celebrity. Hidden genius behind Ideal Comics. I've run out of titles.
Where's that mute button?
To my extreme west, hailing out of, I believe, Cheyenne, Wyoming today, is my good friend, partner in crime, and the only one of us with glorious hair, Matthew Reese. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you. I am the Ideal Comics continuity coordinator and dreamer, quasi-semi-professional dreamer. I am, of course, on the road, as it were, in windy and elevated Cheyenne, Wyoming. So it's 2,000 feet higher than where I normally spend my time. So it's always a weird experience coming up here. But enough about the weather. Let's get on to Barry Tetz back in the old homestead of Scott's Bluff.
Yay! I need to hit like a fake audience applause. I need to find one of those things.
We need a laugh track. Okay. Yeah. If only tell people when we're making a joke.
I don't think we do.
Well, you're making.
If we do, what's going to happen is that somebody, whoever's got the button, anytime the other person one of the other people disagrees with them, we're going to get one of those wah, 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 noises, and I don't want to live with that.
How did my intro get jacked already? I'm somewhere in Nebraska. A man of mystery. That's why I
wrote. Wah, wah,
wah. Where's that mute button?
I swear I won't do it again. I'm sorry.
Alright, lead artist and a whole lot more. With that.
Okay.
Well, what are we doing, Chris?
Internet, I'd like to also say that that Barry is also creepily single. So keep that in mind, ladies.
Whoa.
I was just going to say, if you're listening to the Nerdcast, you didn't see the camera footage. But Barry, when he said that, was given the old bedroom eyes, so...
You came on to the entire internet, Barry.
Oh...
Do you remember what's out there? We love you, but some of you guys scare me.
Okay. All right. But before we get started, I didn't have this on the agenda, but I thought I should tell you guys just to give you a forewarning. Sad news, I got the Whovian fever.
Wow.
April and I started watching Doctor Who and got hooked, and... We have binge watched about 3 to 4 seasons in maybe 10 days. So maybe a little longer than that. But I'm a Whovian now, so I'm sorry. I like it all, I like the Daleks and the Doctor and all that stuff. So I apologize. I'll probably slip into a British accent at some point. Barry,
I'm just waiting for that now.
Barry, you're giving me the bedroom eyes again.
Oh, well, I'm going to do my Australian accent, and we can just go at it.
Is that how, Barry, does Doctor Who stir something in you? Is that something, because I didn't know that. I have no opinion one way or the other, but.
I'm conflicted about that, Reese. I don't know if this podcast or VidCast, wherever it is cast, has that much time in it. I mean, that's a powerful, long discussion. Passionate. Well,
let me go ahead.
Rolling.
We'll pass you off then, and I will go ahead and say that look as if you're just dancing around it, Barry. You don't really have anything to say on the subject. Come on, let's be honest here.
If that's what you want to say, I'm okay with that right now.
I am intentionally ambivalent about Doctor Who.
You know?
I I made the decision many years ago that I will not care. I have my life is full of distractions. I'll explain this, Barry. Okay. My life is full of distractions, and I'm committed to a ridiculous amount of like nerd fan stuff, and music, and ancient culture, and my real job. So
I get that.
Doctor Who is too big for me to care about. I can't. I have to draw a line somewhere, and that line says Doctor Who on it. So I will never care. And other people can like it, and I have no opinion about them liking it. That's what you want to do. But me, can't do it. I have a cursory information. I know what it is. So when people like make jokes or comments on it, that I can, you know, understand that they're, oh, you're talking about Doctor Who. I can't care about that.
Okay.
So that's the thing is. So bully for you. You know, that sounds great.
That's kind of like Game of Thrones and the zombie one.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, like, I have like, you know, I have sports, games, comics, all the art crap that I love so much. But yeah, I just, you know, just to get enthralled with something like that or something like this sucks kind of the hours out of my nights or whatever. I just can't. I don't have the time to do it right now.
You know, it's one of those shows that I've tried to get into before. It's one of those shows that I should have liked it a lot longer ago. Yeah. a lot earlier. I should have really been into it. It's got science fiction, dry humor. It should be something that's right up my alley. And I have tried in the past to really get into it and never made it past like two episodes. And, my wife and I finished about 3 weeks ago. It's been about 3 weeks. We finished a series and we were like, okay, well now what? And I was like, well, you know, we've been talking about watching Doctor Who. Maybe we should watch an episode or two and see what happens. And it was really slow at first, slow going, but when you have, you know, when you've dedicated a certain amount of time to be TV time and you have nothing else to watch, you just kind of stick with it, as sad as that sounds. But it by probably episode 4 or 5, it hooked me, and I've been going ever since, and I can definitely see the appeal of it. I'm right there with you. Fellow Whovians, I'm right there with you.
For me, if it's a TV show and it takes more than, you know, half an hour to appeal to me, it's probably not something I really want to spend time with. It's like, you know, you can tell, like, one of the things about, like, Neil Gaiman's books, what makes him such a great actor is, you know, within two paragraphs, you're going to love the damn thing.
You mean writer?
Yes. He is a writer that can nail that, right?
Yeah.
And TV's writing. It doesn't really matter what frame it's in. And if it's something that's just like, man, you know, I really should like Family Guy. Everyone says I should like Family Guy, but I just don't really like Family Guy. But if I keep watching it long enough, maybe I'll like Family Guy. And I mean, you know, I also should stop and say that I apologize to the world of Doctor Who fans, many of them who I intellectually respect, for comparing you with Family Guy. But I was trying to think of something wildly popular that I hated.
Okay.
So.
See, I could kind of understand what you're saying, and I don't want to spend too long on it because we do have a pretty full agenda. However, if I would have followed that rubric, I would have missed out on some really great shows like Parks and Rec.
Really?
That show is amazing, but the first season was tough.
Like, really?
It was funny, but it was funny in small bursts. And it's one of those shows that we watched the first season over the course of about probably 4 months. We just could not get into it. And then when season 2 hit, and they had really started to kind of redefine the characters a little bit, Leslie was no longer just a kind of a ditzy airhead politician. She became like someone who was really passionate and fun. when they started to define the characters a little bit in season two, that's when it grabbed me. Community was almost the same way. Community took a few episodes to really, really grab me. And so I think if I followed that rubric too much, it might take me forever to find the point. Again, this whole getting into Doctor Who thing has been a years-long process, but I don't know that I completely agree that a show needs to grip me within the first half hour. I can see your point, though.
And I gotta say, you know, and I mean, that just, you know, this comes to a matter of preference there, too, because, like, I mean, Community, while the characters may not have been defined, it had, for my money, the perfect pilot, perfect blend of wit, commentary, you know, pop culture referencing ever. I mean, it was the perfect pilot. The minute I saw that thing, I was like, this show is hilarious. And part of that, I know, with Community specifically, is because of my own opinions about higher education. I mean, I know a lot of people that have gone to colleges exactly like Greendale. So, and my experience was not like that, but only just barely not. Cause I didn't finish.
I can say,
but I mean, with Parks and Rec, I actually watched that first season over the course of like two nights. So, I mean, you know, and the jokes on that are just ridiculous. I thought were really sharp, and granted, it doesn't move like a lot of other shows. There's a lot more subtextual humor to it, but I loved that from the first episode. And once again, that may well be because of my opinion about the inner workings of government. So,
where the rubber of government meets the road of the people is probably my favorite joke in the first season.
That's one of them.
Barry, you were going to say something?
Yes,
that's fine. No, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. No, like, there's a few shows I'm like that with. Chris knows, like, Chris tried getting me into, Chris and Matt tried to get me into, what was it, Stargate?
Yeah.
And their budget was amazingly low, you know, the first, I don't know, forever. And, you know, it was sci-fi, and it was some fun stuff, but it was tough. But, you know, I got into it, and the characters were endearing after a while, and it got better. And so it won me over. But there's a lot of shows that I, you know what, Firefly, I remember turning it on, and I was, you know, a younger, much dumber kid. I see you in the background there, child. But, you know, I actually turned on Firefly on the one where they're, when Mal actually had the bonnet there on the carriage. When was that? Yeah, I was laughing good at that, but then, like, I was like, okay, this is another Western.
It's Alan, Mrs. Reynolds.
You know, if I had stayed with that, I probably would, you know, I was like, oh my god. But I changed the channel at that point. Even though, I, you know, it was appealing. Doctor Who, I have a lot of friends that have said, you know, check this out, obviously. You know, it's right up my alley. I just haven't had the time to really sit down. I want to. But a lot of time I have to really just kind of like veg and somehow get into something is when I'm like that last half hour of my day where I'm just like kind of putting something on to fall asleep to. And lately it's just like been like whatever random anime somebody selects or tells me to watch because I don't know, it's not going to keep me awake, I suppose. So. Hopefully one of these days I'm gonna pop on Doctor Who because it's on my list. It's on my to watch list on Netflix. So,
well, you'll have to let me know when you do. Since I am apparently the Doctor Who expert on the Nerdcast. at the moment, you'll have to let me know what you think, and then I'll tell you how you're wrong.
All right. Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Your tax dollars at work. Okay, no, that discussion, that went a little longer. It intended to be a one-off joke about catching the Whovian fever, but I'm happy with it. That was 15 minutes of really good discussion.
Very, very nerdy.
Very, very nerdy. We had Firefly in there. and I know. Parks and Rec.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I'd like to take the moment to say that for my money, it is absolutely criminal that Stargate lasted as long and had spinoffs when we only got one season of Firefly.
Blame Fox.
Let me think if I really mean this. I would definitely trade all of Stargate and maybe a toe to have had, you know, two more seasons of Firefly. I might be willing to sacrifice a toe for that.
You know, I'm not gonna argue against it. I'm all for you using body parts, but you know, it's Firefly. How can no one say no to that?
You know, I think had it not been Fox, we would have gotten more Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Stargate, the first broadcast of Stargate only lasted 4 or 5 seasons. Because it was originally on Showtime.
Yeah.
And then it was on Showtime, they canceled it, and Sci-Fi Channel picked it up. And I think they would have done the same thing for Firefly had Fox, because I believe, I don't know for sure, so internet, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Fox had something in the contract that basically they owned the rights for like 10 years.
Yep, that's right.
For TV.
Yeah, Whedon couldn't sell Firefly anywhere else.
He owns the characters, but the broadcast rights belong to Fox for television.
Yeah.
So that's why Universal was able to make the movie, because Whedon owns the property, but he can't do anything with it on television.
Exactly. And that was up at 2013, but from what I remember reading about.
That sounds familiar.
So, well.
So, hey, on behalf of the Nerdcast, on behalf of Ideal Comics, Joss Whedon, you and I have our disagreements. Make more Firefly. You can now. Just do it.
I think Joss has moved on.
Take some of that mad Avengers money and go make us some Firefly.
Hey, I'd say take some of that mad Avengers pull and bring Firefly to Disney.
There we go. I'm amazed that Disney hasn't done that yet. Like, they've got
at this point, it's just...
I think it's just a matter of time.
I think it's funny to watch that Disney, like transform itself after having been sort of this insular thing for a number of years. It's kind of transforming itself into what AOL Time Warner was a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of us old nerds, like, watched in horror as AOL Time Warner became this megalith and, like, sucked up all of these properties and didn't do anything with them. Well, we got Batman. And then we got the Steel movie. So that was special.
Wow, Reese, that was nice. That was awesome.
But Disney is doing the same thing, but instead of just absorbing these properties, they're actually doing something with them. And I think that's part of it to be appreciated. We've got Avengers, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, we've got Star Wars coming up, and it's a good time to be a nerd.
It is a good time to be a nerd.
Should I interject real quick? Because I don't want to go off on this tangent too much. But Kevin Feige, guys, I think we should talk about him next time. Look him up. I mean, if he ever leaves Disney Marvel,
let's hope he goes to Disney.
Very sad day.
All right. I'll add it to the list. Kevin Feige, come back next week for a special segment on Kevin Feige. Maybe we'll see. We'll see if we have anything to say about him.
He might even work up some fan art. Who knows?
I've never read anything about him. He might be the most boring guy in the world, in which case, come back next week for what will most likely be the most boring segment in podcast history. So, not just our podcast, the history of podcasts.
Which is quite a bit, honestly.
Well, and, you know, let's be honest. When it comes to nerd culture, you know, one man's passion is another man's sleeping aid. So
that is very true.
We have to acknowledge that. But Bill, Kevin Feige.
Okay. All right. Is it Feige or Feige?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't know.
I believe come Feige. Come back next week when you will find out if it's Kevin Feige or Kevin Feige.
We're going with Feige right now, okay? I've heard him pronounce, I believe, to his face, so he's a powerful enough man, I believe he would have corrected him.
All right, let's get this thing kicked off. Let's actually start the podcast.
Agenda.
What are we, like, we are literally 21 minutes in, and we have not talked about a thing on the list. Okay, let's start with discussion about the new site. I'm sure if you follow us on Facebook, you've heard our new site, idealcomics.net, is up, and it looks awesome. And it is awesome. So we're really excited about it. What's that, Barry?
I have it on screen right now, so the recording is getting the site.
Well, that's good. If you are not watching our video cast...
I'm going to share it?
Yeah, share it. If you are not watching our video cast...
Yeah, sorry.
Go to idealcomics.net right now, and you can follow along. It's pretty sweet. We've got on just right on the main page, we have the slider, which has new content,
sexy new
articles and stuff. We have the Explorer Escher's World, which is our encyclopedia. And that image is random. It comes up different every time, and it links to a page on an encyclopedia. You can go check it out, read more about our characters at Ideal Comics. I want to bring down and on the, it'll be on the left side of the page, the Game Boy Says box. This is a Twitter run by Game Boy, one of our characters. He was talking about Gotham right here a couple days ago. Game Boy lives in the internet, so if you want awesome internet stuff, you should look no further than Game Boy Says on Twitter. You can follow him and get updates not only on the Ideal Comics site, but also on just cool internet stuff in general. All right, if we go to the next page, I'm just going to kind of move through this real quick. We have my favorite section, which is the features section. This is where we're going to be posting all of the articles that are written not only by us here at Ideal Comics, but people from all over the internet. We're accepting articles and submissions on comic books, video games, science fiction, anything you would like to write about, or even draw, or doing fan art, anything you would like. We've got a place for it here on the features section, and we can get you to our audience, and we'd love for you to join us. And we'll talk about all of that at the end of the podcast when we close, how you can get involved and everything. If you head to our contributors page, this is where you're going to find the information on the Ideal Comics contributors. We only have a couple up there right now. We're still waiting for some biographies to come in. But these are not the staff members. These are the people who have drawn art for the site, who are going to have written articles for the site. These are our contributors. Ideal Comics is a company. We like to call ourselves the punk rock company of comic books because we are all about the people. I know that sounds really cheesy to say, so I'm sorry about that. But we are all about just the fans and all about the creators. And we wanted to create a site that wasn't just a place for us to shill our comics, which it's going to be a place for that. We are a company. We want to sell comics, but we want to do more than that. We want to give a place that fans and creators can just come together and really have some fun. The comics page is just highlights both the print and digital comics of Ideal Comics. And that's going to only grow as we start to release more. And then, of course, the extras page is for all the stuff that doesn't really fit in anywhere else. We've got just straight up Ideal Comics history. We have fan art. Barry Tetz is featured on the fan art on three of the images of the artwork. Or two of the images, sorry. Two of the images of the artwork. Barry Tetz is featured. And that's pretty awesome. And then down here, you'll get the actual encyclopedia I was talking about earlier. So you can go through the pages one by one, if you will. We only have four up there. That one's going to be... Those aren't very long. They aren't that hard to make. Those are going to be ones that we update a lot. So be sure to check back to this page. Learn more about Ideal Comics.
And we have tons of character content ready to go for that. It's just a matter of putting all the pieces in one place.
Right, right.
So, I mean, honestly, and I don't mean to brag, being the continuity guy, though it's sort of my job to on here,
we have lots and lots of history. So if you guys dig history, if you like the character interactions, if you get into the universe side of comics, this is a place to start looking. And you know, also yeah. our online products that we have there, the comics and short stories that we'll have that are going to be going up there, are places to really key in and get a lot of that content. So I'm excited for this site fleshing out and being everything that we dreamed of, only a little shinier.
A
little shinier than we had dreamed. It's fancy.
Yes, it is.
Come along nicely.
Yes. All right. You know what? Barry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, on that recruiting, actually, if I interject, I've actually had discussions with a few more people that we might be able to get some story content from and maybe some art content from. Back to them, but
bring them on over. We actually we're starting working with a fellow out of New York this week. Is going to be getting some stuff ready for the short box.
Philadelphia.
Pittsburgh? Is it Philly?
Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
I thought it was Buffalo.
I don't know. You would think I would, but I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you should.
Somewhere in the Northeast. He's from New England somewhere.
Yes. Well, now I feel embarrassed.
Don't worry about it. It's all the same.
So, yes, exactly. Oh, He's from Scranton.
Is he actually from Scranton?
No, it's an office joke.
So,
all right.
Okay. So that's the site, and it is awesome, and we really like it, and we're really having fun with it. We're jazzed about it, and it's only going to grow from here. So we hope you stick with us. Hope you check it out. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you're going to get the updates anyway. You don't even have to check the site if you don't want to. We hope that someday we have enough content that rolling in, that you can check it every day. But, you know, at the moment, if you just want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you're going to get the updates, and you can start there. We're excited about it, and we hope you are as well. So, speaking about content, I also wanted to kind of bridge into a little short little preview of what we can expect this week. So, Reese, what do you, your updates are on Monday.
Mostly. On Monday, Monday. Yep.
You may get updates from us on other days, but Reese and I have dedicated ourselves to having something up Monday and Friday, respectively. So Monday is your update. What are we going to see?
We are taking a trip through the looking glass that is my own personal history to talk about how I got into comics. Chris and I decided we would go ahead and intro ourselves that way, our individual columns that way. And so Chris put up his on Friday, and you get my modeling remembrances of my own tattered covered youth. So there you go. And so there you have it. I, you know, if I say any more, I'm going to sound self-aggrandizing.
Then that's okay.
Oh.
I'm thinking now I'm past that. I'm sorry, people. Just tune in Monday. You'll enjoy it, I think, for 5 minutes. So.
All right. I am, all right, so that's Reese. Come in, y'all. He mentioned on Friday, last Friday, I uploaded my history with comic books. It turned out to be about twice as long as I wanted it to be, but I had a lot to say, apparently, so anything goes at idealcomics.net. On Friday, this Friday, after I upload this, I'm going to be writing about Gotham. New TV show on Fox. We're going to be, at that point, 2 episodes in, and I don't entirely know what I have to say about it. I've watched the opening, I've watched the pilot. I decided to give it a couple of episodes before I tried to filter my thoughts down. I don't yet know what I'm going to say about it, but it's going to be on Gotham. So if you've been watching that show and you've been excited about that show, you probably find at least a neat little discussion in word form on the site on Friday. So yeah, that's what's coming on this week. We'll probably have some artwork updates from Barry as well, I would guess. He was talking about that this week. I don't want to put him on the No one to put him on the spot, but stuff might be coming down the pipe from there. Yeah. So I did want to kind of talk to you guys a little bit about Gotham. That pilot was last week, and April and I watched it a couple nights ago, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. But I wanted to kind of get your guys' perspective on something. There were a lot of cameos in that first episode, which you guys haven't watched it, and so we'll get to it in just a second, but all of Batman's cast is really kind of represented there. We've got Catwoman as a 14-year-old street thief. We got the Penguin as a low-level thug who hates being called the Penguin. People call him that because of his hooked nose. We have Poison Ivy, who they've renamed from Pamela Isley to Ivy Pepper, and I think it's just so they could call her Ivy, but I don't know. Fish Mooney, played by Jada Pinkett Smith, which I don't remember from the comic books. She's a
new character.
Is she a new character? I know she's an underling of Carmine Falcone, who is in the comic books. Of course, the mob boss of Gotham. And there's even a stand-up comedian who I believe is going to be the Joker from The Killing Joke. They're going to be following that history. Oh. I don't know that for sure. That's just my speculation. They spent a lot of time showing this guy. He was auditioning for Fish Mooney's club, and they showed a lot of, they spent a lot of time kind of focusing some of the direction around this stand-up comedian. I think he's probably going to end up being the Joker.
Or it's a misdirect.
It could be a misdirect as well. Maybe the Joker's going to come from somewhere else. Nice. And then, of course, you've got young Bruce Wayne. The show opens with the Waynes getting murdered, and Detective Gordon, brand new on the Gotham City Police Force, comes on. He is partnered with Harvey Bullock, played by Donal Logue. And
can you think of better casting?
I can't, and I want to talk. I'll probably talk in my column about that, but Logue nails Harvey Bullock. Like, it is unbelievable how just perfect he is in that role. I'll probably talk about that a little bit. So you've got the huge cast of the Batman comics. Pretty much everyone's represented. And so all of the major characters, all the major villains. Oh, Edward Nygma, the Riddler, he works for the Gotham City Police Department. There's a really funny interaction between him and Bullock that I thought was pretty good, but in which he works for evidence, and so he's presenting evidence, and he keeps asking riddles, and Bullock's just like gets more and more pissed off as the interaction goes on because Nygma won't just tell it to him straight.
It's and like so, open-ended questions, right?
Yeah, just open-ended questions, but they're riddles and stuff.
That's
and,
nice. I like that.
They've done a good job of just kind of presenting these younger characters in these different places within the story. My question to you guys is, we have this huge cast, all of Batman's supporting cast. One major member of the cast that is missing, though, is Batman. This is a Batman show without Batman. And I'm curious if you guys think that it can actually last. I mean, Netflix has paid millions of dollars for at least the first season. They're clearly banking on this show making it. What do you think, Bruce?
I have two tacks on it to look at. Because there's the will people enjoy it, and there's the will it work. And, you know, anybody who's read the old Silver Age books knows that pre-Batman Bruce Wayne was still a really cool kid. He was resourceful and inventive, and they spent some time in Batman family and in the backups in Detective talking about, you know, Bruce Wayne before he was Batman. And there was a lot of good material in that. Yeah, there was a lot of cheese, too. I mean, it was the 60s and early 70s, right? But there was still some really fun stuff with Batman becoming right? And I think even starting from 13 can't remember the name, there was in the pre-crisis chronology, he starts learning to be a detective from a Gotham City detective that he ropes down and says, "Teach me how to do what you do." And that was, there were some really fun bits in that. So I definitely think it can be done and can be done well. Whether it will be, I don't know. Now, the other thing is about, you know, will people enjoy it? I think if people give, if it's done well and people give it the chance to understand that the journey is about the man, not about the costume, then I think it can go over well. That was one of the things that they did really well with Batman Begins, that Nolan nailed, that it was a story of a man and his quest to find a quest. and they did a great job at it. And I think it can be done really well. I haven't seen the pilot, so I'm not commenting on how they did, merely my fears on it. It is somewhat concerning letting all of your cats out of the bag at once, if that's what they're doing with introducing all of these characters. If they're trying to give service to everyone in every episode, that's going to be, you know, a soap opera. And that's going to be really hard to pay attention to. If they're doing what, you know, James Robinson did with the end of the first arc in Starman, you know, giving everybody hints about what's going to be doing, and then dealing with the core characters as the story progresses and feeding in those other side bits as it goes along, then they've got a real winning formula. It all depends. So next episode, you're really going to kind of see what direction they take with that. But I think it can be done if they do it well and people give it a little bit of time. I think that they can get a real following going on with it. So, and I love Donald Logue. So seeing him as Bullock, I cannot wait. Well, I mean, I have waited. Obviously, life happens, but I'm excited.
All right. Barry, what say you?
That was very nice, Reese. You know, that's my favorite, actually. That's my favorite setup, is when you just present the characters as pieces and you go along introducing them slowly and bring it, like, you know, make the world a live world, you know, physical, tangible, with all the characters. That's my favorite. When Reese referenced the Starman, I was like, oh my god, I actually get really excited. I actually now probably will watch this. But if I can find it on Netflix or Hulu where we watch it, we'll watch it. But, you know, you said, can they have Batman without Batman? Well, you know, they call it Gotham. And Gotham is a very live and vibrant and living city in the comics. I mean, how many DC cities, if you're not if you're not a hardcore comic fan, how many DC cities do you really know besides Metropolis and Gotham?
It's very true.
So, you know, I think they always say there's two characters that they always talk about, the Rogues Gallery. And it's funny because one is doing it cinematically, and we have yet to really see how that goes. But, and that's Batman and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And they're doing the Sinister Six with, you know, Spider-Man. Now we got Gotham. It's not necessarily all the rogues. It's, you know, all the other side characters. But to me, that's exciting. To me, that's what I love actually the most. I prefer the characters. It's kind of funny for an artist to say that, but I really am looking forward to checking it out. I wanted to hear a little bit how it is before I go and actually investing my time into it, because I don't want to get hooked on something that, you know, I'm a nerd, so I'll probably get hooked on regardless, but I want to get hooked on something that's worth getting hooked on.
Well, that's fair. I have two things, one spawning out of each of your discussions, but Reese, I know that I don't think they put all their eggs in this basket, because they have announced that we're also going to get the origin stories for Scarecrow, Hugo Strange, Harvey Dent, and Mr. Freeze, and they were not in this episode. And again, they have said the Joker. I don't know if the comedian guy was the Joker or not. They've said he's going to get an origin story as well. And so I don't know that they put all their eggs in this basket. I hope you're right, though, because James Robinson did an amazing job with that in Starman, outlining the entire series at the end of the first arc.
Yeah.
That was just an amazing, amazing device.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal series.
Internet, if you are comic book fans and you have not read James Robinson's Starman series from the 90s, you have to go read it. It is one of the best character story arcs in comic book history, in my opinion.
And it is worth reading every single episode, every single issue. Yeah. And DC actually released the Omnibus series.
I heard that.
So you can get, I think it's 4 volumes, and you can get all like 80 issues plus all the fill-ins.
Sweet.
I don't know if it has the Shade stuff or not, because James Robinson's rendition of the Shade, the supervillain, also is mind-numbingly good. It was so good I wrote a fanfic based on it. fanzing.com. But I mean, it was really good. If you guys can dig DC at all, go buy Starman. Give James Robinson some of your money. It's totally worth it.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's also digital, also available out there in the digital download then?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't looked for that one. I need to read it again. I haven't read it in years. But anyway, the second point I wanted to bring up, just linking to Barry, you said you wanted to wait and to make sure it was worth your time. I can tell you that based on the first episode, it is worth your time. It was really good. You know, I'm interested to see where it goes. I don't have all my thoughts down. I wanted to give it a couple episodes to really sink in. But the first episode, both my wife and I loved it. My wife's not a comic book fan. She watches the movies. I tend to drag her to the movies. She likes them. She has fun with them. She loved Guardians of the Galaxy, and she loved Captain America Winter Soldier. She has fun at them, but I don't know that she's ever read a comic book in her life, and that's okay, but she loved it, and so I, as a comic book fan, loved it, and her as a non-comic book fan loved it, and so it's definitely worth your time. If you have Hulu, I would check it out. I was gonna, you know, this of course is too late, but they replayed the episode, I think the night before we're recording this, Friday night, yeah, it is. If you haven't seen it, it is worth checking out. It was, the first episode was really good. Ben McKenzie did a great job as Gordon, and but I personally think the highlight of the show was Donal Logue as Bullock. I think he just nailed it, and he was a lot of fun. And yeah, he got a lot of good writing, and I think he's going to be one of the more interesting characters. You wouldn't expect it, but I think he's going to be one of the more interesting characters in the series. So,
Bullock was one of my favorite characters, especially to be one with a fairly recent pedigree, and I mean, you know, mid-90s, mm-hmm. That he really kind of found he was designed to be a foil to Batman, a jaded, tired, dirty cop, who, I mean, not dirty like crooked, but dirty as in like unkempt. In one of the novels, he is described as being a cop that looks like an unmade bed.
Yeah.
But he's not above using excessive force and lying about it. He's meant to be a foil to Batman's pristine sense of honor and justice. And so he was one of the greatest creations of that period. And so for him to find a home earlier in Gotham history, I think it'd be really fun to watch as well. So, okay.
Well, again, Logue nailed that. Like he's not above excessive force and then lying about it. Like that is all there. I love the description of the unmade bed, cause that is his portrayal completely. They nailed that.
If I can, one last thing I wanted to say was, yeah, that's Bullock, I mean, he's a gritty, dirty character. There's so much content there. If they have the right actor and they have the right material for him, that character can just fly, man.
Mm-hmm.
He could have his own TV show.
Yeah, I mean, what my real concern was the guy who was cast as Dent, and if Gordon, and if he can really pull it off, because like he's kind of like he's presented as a lead. Isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's kind of the almost star.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Ben McKenzie is playing Gordon. He is the lead. I think he's going to be good, but he did get a little overshadowed by everyone else in the pilot. I think that's going to be. He's going to be good. He is definitely the. He's definitely the straight shooter. The shining knight of the Gotham City Police Department. And he's definitely the. If we're going to talk about a compass, he's going to be the moral compass. Where right. he goes is the right way to go, which is what Gordon needs to be. Like,
right.
like Gotham is a dirty city. It's like that in the comic books. It's like that in the show. You need that moral compass. This is not a show for gray areas.
That's cool.
You need that white character. Not white as in race, just that morally white character. Anyway. and he does a really good job in that. The only downside to that is I am trying to picture in my head a moment where he stood out as a character, and I can't. Everyone else just overshadowed him.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah. But I guess there were a couple of interactions between him and Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That were really good.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the ticket on the show if they make it work, is that they've got to have Gordon play Obi-Wan to Bruce's Luke.
And they definitely set up that relationship. The only person that Bruce interacts with, two people, is of course he interacts with Alfred. And Alfred's really well done.
Who's playing Alfred?
Let me look. Sean Pertwee. Pertwee. Or an English actor. He's been in a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. Ton of movies, ton of television. He's a very established actor. But I believe more of a British actor up until very recently. More British stuff.
That's good.
That's fine. So... He's really good. He definitely plays it a little closer to Nolan's Alfred than a little closer to Michael Caine's portrayal of Alfred than any of the other previous Alfreds. He's got the Cockney accent rather than the proper British accent.
That's cool.
At one point, Gordon comes to Wayne Manor. And he looks up, and Bruce Wayne is standing on the edge, looking like he's about to jump. And Gordon's like goes up to Alfred. He's like, "What is he doing?" And Alfred looks up, is like, "Hey, I've already told you, get your ass down from there." And except in a very, very British Cockney accent,
right? Right.
It was really well done. You get the feeling less of a butler and more of like a granddad or favorite uncle feeling.
Steward,
yeah. And I thought that was really well done.
And see, that would be a very appropriate, British culture response for him to be, because he is the one who's in charge of his master's estates until Bruce is of age.
Right.
And so I'm going to forget the guy's name, but the fellow that played the very reserved and very obedient Alfred in Burton's films. That would be a change in relationship for a butler or a steward who is now the servant of an adult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for the steward to be in charge of the well-being of the man's estates, he would have a more of an authority figure.
Okay.
It would have been very common in aristocratic British societies for, even if the parents were alive, for the steward to have that kind of authority, or the house staff to have that kind of authority over a child, because the parents were often not around.
Right.
Maintaining business or doing social activities or what have you. So that actually, I like that. I must watch this show.
You're really raising the stakes here, Chris.
It's really good. No, I think your guys are going to really like it.
Really quick, I'm sorry, the lead actor.
Ben McKenzie.
Gordon, yeah. What has he been in? Because I recognize him, but I don't.
He was in The O.C., I know that, which I never watched.
Never watched it.
He was in Southland.
Was he a doctor in Southland?
I'm not sure. No, he was a cop, Officer Ben Sherman.
Hmm.
I don't really know that he's had anything major. Did you watch the Batman Year One video? The cartoon, Batman Year One?
Maybe.
He was the voice of Batman in that.
That's true.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, yeah.
No, he hasn't really, aside from, I mean, Southland and the OC were, of course, huge. Yeah, but...
What were they? Well, I don't know, Southland. I don't know about
Southland. I know the OC was huge.
Was it?
Yeah. And so, yeah. So I don't know that he's been in anything major that I've noticed, but he is...
So it's something that they're doing the right thing. It sounds like letting the characters take the stage.
Yeah. He does a really good job as Gordon. There's nothing, I think, yeah, there's nothing really in his portrayal that, leads me to believe he's not going to be amazing in the role. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Right. Reese has 1 second. I wanted to, what was I going to say? Really quick, we're probably going to see a lot of Nolan influence, and we'll always reference Nolan influence, I think, from this point forward, because he was the first one to do it so successfully and so well with grounding a comic, like X-Men did it to a degree, but Nolan took it to another level of grounding a comic, and it's easier with Batman, I think, than X-Men or anything like that. Grounding comic book characters in real life, bringing them to real tangible characters,
mm-hmm.
and presenting to the audience. I think we're going to see that a lot going forward, and people are going to say Nolan-esque. To me, it was what I always wanted to see. To me, it's like you have these very vibrant, very deep characters that if you put them into a real life situation. It's going to be that much better. You just put them in a real life situation and then you have the superhero. If you can play that right and you can play it off right, you're going to have success no matter what or how you present that hero or that character or that world.
I agree. So, we have gone almost an hour. We made it through one thing on our, agenda.
We're an hour and a half on the podcast.
I wanted to keep it around an hour. I wanted to keep it a little shorter.
Maybe we should.
Well, I do. Maybe we should. What do you guys think? We had a couple more things on the agenda.
With podcasts, we can cut too.
But I like everything we've talked about.
I think. Yeah, I like. We have a good rhythm right now. If you guys want to stop, we can stop. But I'm saying keep the rhythm going.
Let's do one more segment. This is a special segment that we're going to start. It's going to be. Once every week, once every 2 weeks. We don't know yet because we just decided to do this yesterday. It's a little segment that I like to call Barry Takes a Concession Stand.
I was lobbying for Barry Makes a Concession, but...
You know what? I don't know. We might switch it just to mix up the audience. Like every other week, it's something different.
Maybe. All right, so it's a segment in which Barry talks about a movie that he is excited about. So, Barry, what do you have on deck for this week?
Woohoo! Well, internet people, it's so far I believe it's actually making some decent waves. But if you have not checked out the trailer for John Wick, it's your new Keanu Reeves flick that's coming out. It's pretty much just to set it up a little bit, it's pretty much... the lone dude going out for revenge, violent-esque movie.
And so is this the story of a block of wood with a firearm?
If it is, it's okay, because goddammit, it looks awesome.
Oh,
that block of wood, is kicking ass. And this, watch the trailer. Like, I think everyone at this point has reservations whenever you say Keanu Reeves. For love him or hate him, whatever it is, you always think, Keanu Reeves, am I going to like this movie at all? And the trailer looks great. I don't know, it's got the classic 90s action violence, definitely. Like, what we loved about the Expendables, the first one, more or less, a little bit about the second one. But... It's great. Have you seen it, Chris?
I watched the trailer. And, it actually looked pretty stylish. Looked pretty good. Yeah. I can see why a lot of people are onto it. As far as story goes, it's, of course, about As far as story goes, in generalizations, it's about as cliched as you can get. Man goes out for revenge. The thing I love about it, though, is he's not going out for the revenge of the death of his family like the Punisher. They kill his dog. And I love that. Now, mind you, the dog
it's a puppy.
It's a puppy. The dog is important. His wife died, and this was her last gift to him. They explained that in the trailer. And so that's awesome.
Oh, my God.
And I love that. But it's the fact
it's a story of a man named Wick who is made of wood. And snaps, goes absolutely mentally ill after his dog is killed.
God damn it, that was awesome, Reese. Yes.
Yes, I love it. So I hadn't heard about the movie until Barry told me I should check out the trailer. And I'm with him on it. I think it's going to be great.
Talk about the cast. The cast has Christopher Walken in it, John Leguizamo.
Okay.
It sets it up as, you know, he's retired. He's a retired mobster or whatever. He was a dangerous man. He's a dangerous man. At first, he's just, you know, that was my last, you know, my wife left me this dog and they killed my dog. These dudes write up on him like, hey, you know, we want your car. How much is it? Because the car's not for sale. And so they follow him back and they, you know, they do the dirty on him. They kill his motherfucking puppy. I have to edit that out, Chris.
Nope.
And so, you know, he's this bad dude, and they roll into it like, you know what, it's not what you did, son. When they get back to their digs, like, whose car is this, you know? It's like, I know this car, the mobsters are, John Leguizamo. So, like, it's like, not what you did, man, it's like, who you did this to. So, bam, Mr. Wood is a bad mofo, and he's about ready to come mess up. And they know he's coming because he was this bad dude. So he's coming, and they're like, all right, hire all these guys. Hire everybody. We're bringing the war in. And it's like, bam, it has all these great, fun, you know, dirty actors we all love. And it looks like a good, fun, bloody time.
It does look like a great flick. So, all right, John Wick, if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. That was Barry takes a concession stand, or Barry at the movies. We'll see. We'll see what we call it.
We'll find another one.
Go on. we'll find another
Barry.
Title. You never
Barry's
know.
Ticket booth.
Barry's ticket. Oh, that's good. That's right? Good. Barry's
what was
ticket
that?
Booth. Barry's ticket.
Barry's
booth.
Ticket booth.
So be sure to check in either next week or a couple of weeks. We aren't sure how often we're going to do it for another segment in which we'll probably actually come up with a name and pick one, but we'll see. Maybe we'll change it every time. I don't know.
We don't know. You don't know. We don't know.
All right. I think that's it. I think we'll cut it off there. We'll move. We had one more topic to talk about, but that's definitely not. That's definitely one we can talk about next week as well, and we'll be sure that's on the agenda.
Because we were going to talk about it last week too.
Yeah, we moved it. What are you guys talking about? This is our first podcast. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Chris. The audience knows you're lying, and now they just trust you.
Oh, man. All right. This has been the Ideal Comics Nerdcast. If you have any questions, or if you want to write for us, or you want to draw something for us, our email address is idealcomics@yahoo.com. Go ahead and drop us a line. Send us a message. If you have a question for us, you want to know what Barry thinks about the actor that plays John Wick's dog.
It's a cute goddamn actor, I'll tell you that.
Ask him about it, and we'll try. If we get some questions, maybe we'll answer them on the air. We'll see. Otherwise, you know, check out the new site, idealcomics.net. It's going to be awesome. It's awesome right now, and it's going to only grow even more awesome as the time goes on. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
Yes. Next time, don't let me spike my coffee so strongly.
We can't let you. This is America, Barry. You do what you want and you face the consequences.
Spike your coffee as much as you want. All right. Next week, join us for hopefully a sober sober discussion. We'll see. This is The Ideal Comics Fans First Nerdcast. We were nerds first. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next time.
Later, Internet. Woo!